attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast. Tune into The Drive 3 until 6 p.m. weekdays on the Sports Hub.
I love it. It's brilliant.
There's a movie quarterback discussion to be had today. But before we get to that, Vince Carter, better college player or pro? The Atlanta Hawks have signed Vinsanity for what will be an NBA record 22nd season. He's easily one of the most beloved basketball players of the last two decades. But to me, I always think of him as a college player first, NBA star second. When you think about his NBA career, the first thing that comes to mind is a dunk contest. When you think about his pro career, you go to international play where he dunked over Fred Weiss in 2000 at the Olympic Games. He was more beloved and recognized in the NBA, the Raptor jersey with the actual red dinosaur on it. That's one of the classic throwbacks right now. The Vinsanity movement. The dunk contest, the international dunk with the 2000 team, but he never made it to an NBA Finals. He joined teams that were fresh off the finals, the New Jersey Nets in 2004, the Dallas Mavericks in 2013. They had won the finals, then Vince Carter came around. He got close. Maybe the most memorable moment he had on the floor was playing in Game 7 of the 2001 Finals against the Sixers, missing that turnaround jumper that would have won the game. You remember, the criticism was all on Vince when he decided to come back to Chapel Hill, graduate that day, then play Game 7 of the Finals. He had a great game. He just couldn't hit that shot right at the end, which would have advanced Toronto to face the Lakers that year. Never made it first team All-NBA, never won an MVP award in the NBA. So really, even though he was a great dunker, had a lot of very good years, is going to be a basketball Hall of Famer, I think college first, because meanwhile, when he was at North Carolina, he was a consensus All-American, two Final Four appearances consecutively, two ACC tournament titles. Heck, when Barack Obama was talking about how much he loved Vince Carter, he first mentioned him as being a Guitar Heel. So is that the barometer we'd use here? On Twitter at SportsUpTriad, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. He's, again, going to get inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, both on his merits, I think, at Chapel Hill, and also what he did in the NBA. But he cares about the Basketball Hall of Fame. Everybody gets in. If Mitch Richmond is in the Hall of Fame, Vince Carter is going to get in. There's no question. Especially with the dunking, the international play, his college days as an All-American, then the NBA record, soon to be NBA record, 22nd NBA season he's about to embark on at 42 years old. So he's going to get in, but that's also why a lot of people don't really care about the Basketball Hall of Fame. Everybody gets in. The NFL Hall of Fame is so great because five modern-day players get in every year. That's it. Which leaves out 10, 15 guys you can argue deserve to be Hall of Famers. I'm surprised we still today talk about baseball as much with their Hall of Fame, but a big part of the reason we do is because it's so hard to get in. It's harder to get into that Hall of Fame than the Basketball Hall of Fame. Intern Nick is in the house in the control room. Desmond Johnson is producing this show today. Dez, what day is it?
It's Hot Dog Day.
Do you think LeBron is going to do that again this week?
I think he already has.
He did this?
It's Hot Dog Day.
He left off the thing at the end, though, right? He didn't do that again, did he?
Oh, that I don't know. I knew
Intern
he was
Nick, get on
it.
See if he's already done his Taco Tuesday tradition. Soft shell or hard shell?
It's crazy. The older I get, the more I prefer soft shell. It kind of depends on the filling.
I love hard shell because it's a lot easier if you put more into the soft shell taco for it to break apart. Mm. I need the sturdiness there.
Structure.
Need the structure. I'm a hot sauce savant, so I go across the triad trying to find different hot sauces that I could put in my taco. So I'm a big taco fan, and I'm also somebody who celebrates.
It's Taco Tuesday!
What do you got on Vince?
We talked about this before, and I've been thinking about it. This is really hard for me because as a diehard Carolina fan, some of my fondest Carolina memories have to do with Vince Carter just embarrassing somebody on the court. I think he fouled out Cherokee Parks in a basketball game by dunking on him from an inbounds pass, a two-handed dunk that Parks fouled him on and fouled out of the game on too. Like, it's, you have to go back and find it, but it's
that
nuts.
Might have been the same game that Coda threw the ball off the backboard and it nearly led to the alley-oop dunk of all alley-oop dunks.
Yes.
But Vince slammed it off the back iron. It didn't go.
His misses
it's one
are
of
crazy.
The biggest what ifs. It's one of the biggest what ifs in North Carolina Duke basketball rivalry history. If that dunk goes down, is that the signature play that's played time and time again when North Carolina faces Duke? It very well could have been that. That's one of the things I first think of when I think about Vince Carter's North Carolina days.
He got Tim Duncan at Wake.
He did. Oh,
yeah.
The reverse.
Yeah.
Oh, the reverse dunk on the alley-oop.
He got him.
McInnis threw the lob. That one sticks out to me as well.
So, like, Carolina, it's like Carolina, then, like, the first 3 years of his NBA career was, like, peak Vinsanity in terms of his athletic ability. But then again, my man's playing his 21st NBA season. 22nd. So that's going to break the record, right?
It's going to break the record. All of this was just discussed.
That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. So, I mean, it feels weird to say that he's more well-known for the 3 years at Carolina 20 years ago than the past 20 years.
Not
in the
what
NBA.
I'm saying. He's more well-known for his NBA career, but that doesn't mean he's a better NBA player than he was a college player. He was more meaningful in college than he was in the NBA.
Well, that's a little different. Meaningful and like,
he's a better college player than he was an NBA player.
Better in terms of
impact.
Okay, I can give you impact. Like, ability, he got better in the pros than he was in UNC, but I see what you're saying in terms of impact to the game, notoriety, all those good things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some might be saying, duh, you get better. You should do better in college than you do the NBA. The NBA is more difficult. But there's probably a more significant faction of people who automatically assume, because of the notoriety and how beloved he was, that he was, sure, a first-team All-NBA guy and maybe an MVP candidate 1 year. There never was a year Vince Carter was seen to be the best guy in the league. He never played in a finals game. So I think it's okay that he's beloved, but he's Michael Vick. That's what he is. He's a beloved player. Michael Vick never played in a Super Bowl. Nobody said Michael Vick was the best player in the sport while he played, because you knew you had Tom Brady and you had Peyton Manning around. So it's not a shot to Vince Carter to say he wasn't the best in any given year, but I just want to establish to some people who might be too young to remember the early years of Vince, or just might be ignoring some of the facts, he was a lot more impactful in college. There's a story that I absolutely love here that involves a teen comedy in 2015 that tanked, called The Duff. A few years ago, this came out. It probably was a straight-to-DVD type of movie. It was bad. It went viral yesterday. That's because there's an actor named Robbie Amell who some football writer, saw him dropping back to pass for his high school football team, and his throwing motion was just garbage. Didn't fully follow through. And the caption was, "Why do actors struggle to throw a football like regular human beings?" Colin Cowherd then picked it up, saying it might lead the show with this, which then led to this getting back to the actor, Robbie Amell. Now, it wasn't Amell who responded to Cowherd. It was his wife, her name, Italia Ritchie. Italia writes on Twitter, "These guys are ruining my bleeping date night. Robbie Amell is outside pumping up a football that I'm definitely going to be asked to film him throwing. I hope whichever grown man started this really enjoyed watching his teenage rom-com. Then there is, surely enough, a video of Robbie Amell. And he put it out on his Twitter page saying, apologies to my very pregnant wife for having to video this. She's in no condition to catch. It's not perfect, but at least it's better than the movie. Off to a savage date night. There you go. He wanted to prove that he could throw a football correctly. But I think he made himself look even worse because he made his wife videotape it, who's incredibly pregnant, while also ruining date night. Is it possible for you to look worse than not being able to throw a ball correctly by the end of an evening of going viral?
Only if he hit on some other woman during the date after all of that happened with his pregnant wife.
Like, I'm surprised he found a way to look worse than you going viral and throwing a football poorly. But it does lead us to an important discussion we've been having around here. The best movie or television quarterback of all time. I have my top five right here. Number five, John Moxon. Mox. Varsity Blues.
Mox is a fox.
Vanderbeek. Number four, Paul Cruz. The old one.
Ah.
The old one.
Well done.
Burt Reynolds was calling plays and playing quarterback. Adam Sandler wasn't doing that. Burt Reynolds was back in the movie calling the play. So you got to go old school. Longest yard, Paul Cruz. Number three, Sunshine Ronnie Bass. Gosh, he just had so much potential. I don't know how good of a teammate he was. We didn't have enough sample. We didn't have enough tape on Ronnie Bass. But just an electric arm, versatile dual threat guy back in the time. There weren't that many of those. Very good player. Number two, my number two movie or television quarterback, Shane Beamon.
Who? Say that again?
Shane Beamon, Any Given Sunday.
Willie Beamon.
Willie Beamon. Who's Shane Beamon?
I have no idea. That's why
I was thinking about these off the top of my head. Willie Beamon.
Like who?
Isn't it Willie the Steaming Beanin or something?
I almost started singing the song. Remember the song he was doing for the supplements or whatever?
Probably was thinking about Shane Beamer. Number one. Or maybe my number one quarterback. Okay. Shane Falco.
There you go. I thought that might have been what happened.
That's what happened there. And here's the tiebreaker. Keanu Reeves also played Johnny Utah in Point Break, who was a quarterback at Ohio State when he got injured. Go.
So, nice work. Nice work.
Shane Falco. Still a relevant name because Keanu Reeves, for some reason, is more sexier than ever in 2019 than he was even 20 years ago. Do you have any issues with the list?
I do not. As a matter of fact, I wrote down John Moxon, Varsity Blues, and Willie Beamon Any Given Sunday on my prep list. So,
all right.
Well done.
336-777-1600 on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad. The Drive broadcast live at the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios. Learn about the ways that Tim Wellborn can help you. Online at timwellborn.com. You'll know when you need us. Coming up, why I would not pay Ezekiel Elliott. This is The Drive.
It's Fuck Dog Tuesday.
No mercy, no pity, no fear.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham. The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920.
The new voice of college football on Thursday night ESPN, Adam Amin, now joins us here on the show. He's going to be with Pat McAfee, Matt Hasselbeck, and Molly McGrath on Thursday nights, except when he's on Friday night, which will be in Winston-Salem, North Carolina facing Wake on September the 13th. So we look forward to having Adam around here. But before we get to that, Mike Leach was saying things about cargo shorts because, sure, why not? Have you ever been in the same room with Mike Leach?
I have been, actually, yeah, man. I think he's one of the most interesting people to talk to, and I don't think that's like a surprise to anybody. Certainly that won't be to anybody who follows college football in any capacity, but he is legitimately like a thinker. I disagree with him in a lot of ideas. But I think when you sit down and just listen to him, it's hard not to just be engaged and at least want to hear what he has to say, because he does seem like he thinks about these things and then thinks them out and then tries to communicate them. So I have a lot of respect for Mike Leach in that regard.
Well, this week, someone asked about the fact he was wearing cargo shorts, and here's how he responded when asked, do you often wear cargo shorts?
Yeah, it's like for the pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always have pockets. I don't understand those nylon shorts. You know, you jog around and your stuff flaps all over the place. I've never liked those.
How many pairs of cargo shorts do you have?
Difficult to say, because now it's gotten to where they'll give them to me. Or Nike will say, here, check these ones out type of thing.
What's your policy, Adam, on cargo shorts?
Not a cargo shorts guy personally, but I got a backpack most places I go to, you know, like when I'm traveling for games or whatever, like I've got a backpack to deal with. So I don't think I need the cargo shorts for convenience, because it seems like Mike is following the cargo shorts lifestyle, cargo shorts for life, because he likes the convenience of having several pockets and his stuff doesn't fly around. That's totally understandable. Very practical. It's why cargo shorts exist. It's why they got a huge fan base, clearly. Not for me. Just not for me.
And I have to believe when he's talking about stuff, he's speaking about actual things versus anatomy, because that would be an underwear problem versus the cargo shorts problem. But it also leads me to ask, when you're running, do you have anything in your pockets? See, when you're running, I don't have anything in my pockets when I run.
I try not to have anything in there. Like, I'll hold my cell phone and my keys in my hand just so I don't have them, you know, banging around in the pocket. Now, that being said, if I do run with them, I think my shorts are like, the pockets are good enough to where the wallet just sits in there or the phone just sits in there and you're fine. But just for safety's sake, because we've all been there where the phone flies out or whatever it may be and it busts, I'll just hold on to it for safety's sake. I'm just running. I can still pump my arms. That's all that matters. That's all I'm trying to do.
Adam Amin of ESPN with us here on Twitter, at Adam Amin. Vince Carter is going to be returning for an NBA record 22nd NBA season, as the Atlanta Hawks announced yesterday that they had signed Vinsanity. What's your number one memory of Vince Carter? When you hear Vince Carter, what comes to mind first?
Dunk contest, easily. A guy who made Saturday night at the All-Star Game must-watch television anytime he was participating. The jersey, I feel like I see that jersey still more than any other Raptors jersey. Even this past year with Kawhi, I still feel like I see that purple road Toronto Raptors jersey with the 15 on the back more than any other. So I associate him with dunking and the Raptors as much as I associate any other player with any other particular thing in the NBA. I think that's, and I hate to be so reductive about Vince Carter's career, because there's far more to it than that. But that being said, like, that's what I remember growing up. I remember watching him in North Carolina. My brother is a huge North Carolina basketball fan, so he loved Antoine Jameson and Vince Carter and those mid-90s teams. And I just feel like he was part of my basketball development as a teenager. You know, I'd be like, wow, human beings can do these things in the air and elevate as much as he does. Like, there's a million different Vince Carter moments, but to reduce it down to one or to one thought, that's the thought that I'll always have about him.
Adam, you were involved in what I believe to be very big college football news from a couple of weeks ago. Pat McAfee being a part of your Thursday night football team with Matt Hasselbeck and Molly McGrath. He's somebody that represents fun in the booth that we haven't seen or sound. It doesn't sound like it did when he did an NFL game, Packers and Lions, and also did a college football game as well. From your broadcaster standpoint, what does McAfee bring to the booth that is unique?
Him. For sure. I mean, you know, the personality that he brings is unlike anybody else's. I almost fear informing him too much, because I kind of want him to just figure it out on his own and figure out what's comfortable for him. Because let's also make something clear. He's not an idiot. You know, like I think we have this impression that he's coming in to be the clown on a very serious broadcast. I don't see him as that. I didn't really get exposed to Pat's personality until meeting him this past week, because I didn't really, you know, he wasn't on my radar as somebody that whose content I was going to consume. I only have so much room to consume content as it is. But I understood that he was really sharp. He's a really smart football guy, despite what people's, you know, prejudgments may be about him. And not to say that they think he's bad. They're just expecting something from him. And I don't want to make it like this thing where it's like Matt and I are going to have a really straight, traditional football broadcast, and then Pat's just going to say funny things. I don't think that's why Pat's here. I think Pat's here to lend an angle of expertise that we don't usually get a chance to hear from. And because his angle of expertise, not that he doesn't know all of football, but his specific angle is so niche and so specific that he now has room to give a unique and often entertaining perspective on the other aspects of football, along with smartly analyzing it from his view as well. So I don't want it to be like this thing where he's just some sideshow for our entertainment in the booth and you sitting at home, and then the rest of us are going to do a real football broadcast. Pat's going to be a part of this. Pat wants to be a part of this, and I think he's smart enough and deserves enough respect with that intelligence to treat him as such. What I'm excited about is to see how his personality, which is unique, and I don't use that word in the sense of very unique or misusing it. He is one of a kind.
Yes.
He is a one of a kind personality. He is a one of a kind person. He's a good dude. He's a funny guy. And I am excited to hear how he feels comfortable injecting that into whatever the hell it is that we're going to do on Thursday nights anyway.
I just found myself very happy with the news, because if he goes to the NFL, we've seen already the way that league approaches fun in the booth. And there's a self-seriousness in the NFL you don't get with college football. And when he's paired with you, you're one of the best college football guys out there. That's why you're on Thursday night. That's why you're on Friday night. That's why you're on big packages on Saturday. But you're also somebody who has no problem eating food on Friday night because they bring it in the booth, and that makes for great television. It's a different approach, which is something I'm fascinated with, because I really believe that this has a lot of potential to sound a lot different than anything else we've heard in that time slot.
I agree. I agree fully with that. I think it is something unique, and it's just finding the fulcrum, right? It's finding that perfect balance for Pat, not for me, not for Matt, not for the sport of college football, for Pat. How does Pat fit in, and how does he feel comfortable to be himself and still be the analyst that he is expected to be and wants to be? Smart and respected, while still being able to realize what all of us fail to realize more often than not. This is still just entertainment, and it's still, we're not doing LSU Texas on Saturday night. We're not. We're doing games that may not have as much cachet as the ones that you're going to sit down for at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. And that's okay. I don't think it's insulting to the teams. I don't think it's insulting to fans, and I don't think we're insulting ourselves by saying the Thursday schedule is not necessarily made for marquee games. But what it is made for is to introduce you to the sport of that weekend, the storylines of that weekend, to still call and document the game in front of us, which does have value and matter and does have importance to a lot of people, and to enjoy college football. And I think that's something we've been missing on a lot of Saturdays. And that's okay, because Saturday's got a different job. Your job is different on Saturday. Your job is to inform and keep people up to date as much as possible with some larger scale matchups. Thursday night, we get to enjoy Greenville, North Carolina. We get to enjoy Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We get to enjoy Houston, Texas. We get to enjoy Cincinnati, Ohio. And we want to give people a flavor of that, and almost injecting Pat into that. Pat is almost like our proxy for the fan. Be like, oh, wow, so this is college football again in 2019.
And you're going to be enjoying Winston-Salem, North Carolina, September the 13th. Right here in our backyard, September 13th, it is Wake Forest in North Carolina. A pretty big game on a Friday night.
Yes.
In just a month or so. Adam, we can't wait. I'm happy for you with this news. It's good to hear your voice, and we'll see you very soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Thanks, Josh.
You got it. That's Adam Amin of ESPN on Twitter, at Adam Amin. And somebody who is not on the cargo short train. So that's where we stand right now. I don't wear cargo shorts. Nick doesn't wear cargo shorts. Adam doesn't wear cargo shorts. Desmond wears cargo shorts.
And Desmond doesn't care.
Oh, I know. don't get defensive, Des.
I'm just like past the...
Des is getting defensive.
The age of... Like, if this was 15 years ago and this conversation was happening, I'd be like, oh, man, maybe I'm out of the loop. Maybe I should stop wearing cargo shorts. But nah, I'm pretty comfortable in my skin here.
Oh, it's fine.
I mean, you keep bringing it up. I don't know.
Well, no, Mike Leach keeps bringing it up.
Oh, that's what it is.
Mike Leach brought it up. I didn't bring us here. When Mike Leach speaks, we go to him. It's kind of like with Orgeron. When Orgeron talks, we go to Orgeron. And when it's... What was that?
Jog around and your stuff flaps all over the place.
Well, that's Mike Leach. He's a character.
I'm
a fan of his. Up next, Carmelo over Kobe? I'm being for real. Keep it on the drive.
Come on! This is The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Miles Bridges said a thing yesterday to Rod Boone of The Athletic, and I feel like he might be taking the same crazy pills Mugatu was taking in Zoolander. Did he actually take the crazy pills? No, he said, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Gotta make sure I get the important stuff down. A lot of people think the Hornets aren't going to be any good. A lot of people are right. BetOnline.ag estimates the Hornets' win total to be 23.5 for next year.
Damn!
In response to that, Miles Bridges said a lot of people are doubting us right now. People think we can't win even double-digit games. So I just want to step out and prove that we are a hungry team, we are young, but we are still good enough to make it to the playoffs because I feel the young core came in and almost helped us get to the playoffs last year. So I feel like we will do the same this year. End quote. Couple of things. Number one, stop. The Hornets are going to be bad, like very bad, next year. And the thing with Miles Bridges is he's generally a very honest guy. He was the one, when asked about, hey, should you have been considered for Rookie of the Year? No, my team wasn't any good. So I appreciated the honesty from Miles Bridges. You might say, Josh, you don't know what the question was. He might have been posed, hey, are you going to be better than 23.5 games? What do you expect Miles Bridges to say? I don't expect him to lie. Okay? Like, saying you're going to be good, saying you're going to be hungry, that's one thing. I don't ever expect Miles Bridges to come to a microphone and say, yeah, I think we're going to win 8 games this year. I don't think things are going to look good for us. It's kind of like right now at all these fall camps for college football. It's amazing that 130 teams across college football believe they're going to win 7 games, go to a bowl game. It's amazing how everybody in the country is looking great right now, if you ask the coaches. So, of course, Miles Bridges isn't going to say anything negative there, but it's a little bit of a straw man to say that there are people out there who are saying you're not going to win double-digit games. Come on now. The worst team in the NBA won, what, 16, 17 games a year ago? Nobody is saying in the Eastern Conference that Charlotte isn't going to win double-digit games. So, heady play on Miles Bridges' part. It seems like he's saying, no one says we're going to win double-digit games. So the Hornets, when they win 15-20 this year, Miles Bridges could come out here and say, hey, they said we wouldn't win double-digit. We won more than that. Setting that bar very low, aren't you, Miles Bridges? Worst team have what record?
The New York Knicks were the team with the worst record in the Eastern Conference. They were 17-65.
17 wins.
The Suns were 19-63.
In the NBA. So, yeah, Miles, we think you're going to be bad, but I don't think anybody's out there saying you're going to win single-digit games. I don't think that's how that works. Then he said, last year, hey, when we started to make that push to try and make the postseason, it was the young guys who came on. Not exactly. It was that Kemba Walker guy you had. You know, the guy who was All-NBA, that guy. He was the one that was carrying the team on his back. Not Devontae Graham and Dwayne Bacon. It wasn't those two who was doing it. Now, I'm not anti-Dwayne Bacon or Devontae Graham, but of course I'm not anti-Dwayne Bacon or Devontae Graham. You need to build around the younger players. Tanking, it gets a negative connotation, but essentially all tanking is not signing older players or more expensive players when you're going to be bad. The Hornets are going to be bad, and they're going to be bad playing Dwayne Bacon and Devontae Graham. Not because those players are bad, but because they're not developed enough yet in order for the team to be good. And you're going to figure out what you have with Malik Monk and Cody Zeller. That's what you're going to do, but you're going to be bad in the process. So part of it is, okay, what did you expect Malik Monk to say, or excuse me, Miles Bridges to say? He chose to say something that just doesn't seem true. I don't think anybody is saying you're only going to win single-digit games. And on top of that, he's pulling out BS that, hey, when they made the push last year, it was with young guys. And while the young guys played more down the stretch, it wasn't the reason why they were close and pushing. It was Kemba Walker, who was an All-NBA player, who you do not have on your roster anymore. So you're going to be bad. Do you know how I know it's summer? And specifically, it's August?
What's up?
I see headlines such as this one appear across my news feed. This is an actual ESPN headline. Quote, why the Jets and 49ers are safe bets to improve. Here's a thought. You're second and third in the NFL draft order. You can't get much worse. Here's the end of the story. If you pull, I didn't click the story. But if I clicked it, all I want to appear on the 49ers end of that is Jimmy Garoppolo. That's it. The 49ers are a safe bet to improve. Why? Jimmy Garoppolo. The Jets! You had the third pick in the draft. You picked in the top three. You picked Quinnen Williams. He's going to be a very good player. But no, safe bets to improve. I would agree with that. There are safe bets to improve. Maybe not being the second or third worst team. Maybe being, I don't know, the fifth or sixth worst team. Still a safe bet for improvement. Speaking of that Quinnen Williams guy, he was talking about his Madden rating. Got a pretty good rating. He got an 80. He's a rookie. He's a top five draft pick. So reporters asked him about it, and things got weird very fast.
My rating, I got an 80 on Ultimate Team, so I'm going to go play with myself today. So, see how I feel. That came out weird. Yeah, I'm mad. I'm playing myself. I'm mad.
Yes, he's going to play with himself on Madden. That's what he's going to do. This reminds me of a story. I was covering East Carolina. The Pirates had beaten, I think, Houston. It was, they had a couple defensive touchdowns. Ruffin McNeil is such a wonderful person. Anybody who's been around Ruffin knows that this guy is terrific, whether it's back to his days at Appalachian State, North Carolina guy. He's at Oklahoma now with Lincoln Riley. But sometimes he can misspeak at points. They're going into an open date, and he wanted to send a message to his team through the media after this game. He wanted to reiterate and reinforce that they were going to win the open date. They were going to win the bye week. They were going to win the off week. What came out of his mouth, though, is we're going to win the open date. We're going to win the bye week. We're going to beat off. That's what he said. And there was he meant to say they were going to beat the off week. And he's the kind of guy who reads the calendar. It says, okay, you're at Houston. You're here. You're here. You're here. You're off. We're going to beat off is what came out of his mouth. That's what he said. I don't know if he did, but that's what he said. And there was about a 10-second silence before the look of absolute terror washed over Ruffin McNeil's face. Well, that's not what I mean. It's not what I meant to say. Yes, it is.
Isn't that the worst? Like, after have you caught yourself on the radio yet? Either
yes.
Here or anyplace else? Something like that happens, and then like it sinks in 10 seconds later. You're like, wait a minute, what did I just say?
Oh, yeah. that happens to me quite a bit. That happens at times with names and how things can get mixed up. Sure. Quinnen Williams, happy about his Madden rating. Going to do a little bit of Xbox playing.
I'm going to go play with myself today.
Yeah.
So, see.
What he's going to do. No problem with it.
Got to take care of yourself.
Completely natural.
Yeah. Just got to.
Play the video games.
Yeah.
You know.
Make sure ratings are correct.
I mean, it's completely natural that if you're in the video game, you're going to want to play with yourself.
Exactly.
That's what you're going to want to do.
It's not weird at all.
No.
No.
Not even a little bit.
It's normal.
Who said it's weird?
It's natural.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If Quinnen Williams didn't say it was weird, I don't think anybody would acknowledge this at all. Because we all have our minds where they need to be. It's not in the gutter whatsoever.
I'm going to go play with myself today.
Yeah. That's what's weird about it.
It's nothing weird about it.
To any of us. Not weird at all.
Uh-uh.
I'm not sure if Quinnen Williams wears cargo shorts, though. We need to figure out if Ryan McGee wears cargo shorts. On top of that, ESPN's Ryan McGee, we will ask for another amazing minor league baseball story, because every time he joins us, he gives us amazing stuff, including a mountain man who grabbed baseballs and then tried to sell them back to the team, even if there was a serpent hanging from his arm. We get another amazing minor league baseball story from Ryan McGee of ESPN next.
And now,
oh God,
the show,
the joke,
and boring as hell,
with the host,
this guy,
oh, not this guy.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the sports hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
On the road again.
Did you purposely play Willie here?
Just can't wait to get
Willie Nelson is going to be in concert next weekend in Greensboro. We were talking about it behind the scenes. I think we're going to give away some tickets. Willie Nelson and Allison Krauss are going to be at the Greensboro Coliseum. I've never seen Willie before. Darren Gant, our good friend at ProFootballTalk.com, has been telling me, you got to go to this show. You got to see Willie if you haven't seen him before. It might be your last chance to do so. I love myself for Willie Nelson. Ryan McGee of ESPN now joins us on the show. I feel like we could talk about whatever. Were you much of a Willie Nelson fan?
I love Willie Nelson. Marty Smith and I got in trouble. We started singing Willie Nelson on the show, and we realized real quick that we can't afford that. So my question was, if we sing it that far off key, does it even really count? But apparently Willie's lawyers are pretty vigilant. So, yeah, we learned real quick. We love Willie, but we can't sing him on the show.
Fair enough. We had Marty Smith on the show yesterday. He's putting out a new book that we're very excited to read, Never Settle, one of the all-time good guys in the business. So we look forward to reading that. Your broadcast partner on the radio. On Twitter at ESPN McGee, you can follow Ryan McGee here on the show. Do you remember the first time Vince Carter appeared on your radar screen?
Yeah, I do. And it was one of those dunks. I think that was funny. I was just watching on, I think it was either First Take or Sports Center, and they were showing, like, Vince Carter's greatest dunks, like, of his college career. And I just remember that windmill deal he had. I can't remember who it was against now, but I just remember thinking, what are you talking about? And I was living in Charlotte at the time. So everybody was, you know, Charlotte's Chapel Hill South. And nobody was talking about Vince, you know, that they were talking about with a couple of guys from Charlotte on those Carolina teams. But then years later, you know, Vince is from Daytona. And I've spent every February of my adult life at the Daytona 500. And he has like a killer steakhouse, like right there in Daytona. And I remember one year we're all just sitting there eating steaks, whatever. And next thing you know, Vince is like making the rounds. And we were like, dude, it's February. Don't you have like a game to play or something? And then we realized the All-Star game was happening in Orlando, and he was in the game, and he he sat there and talked to us for probably 20 minutes. And, so he drove up I-4, one of America's worst highways from Orlando, just to say hey to everybody for coming to the restaurant. The next night, he, like, hung, like, 18 in the All-Star game.
There's a story that I love that I think Deadspin first caught, but other places have caught, too, where on Twitter, somebody pulled this clip from an awful, like, teen comedy, like a teen rom-com from 3 or 4 years ago, where this guy's a high school quarterback and his throwing motion just looks awful, leading to somebody saying, why do actors struggle to throw a football like regular human beings? Now, this guy, after getting roasted by media across the country, including Cowherd, he actually said that this is my actual nightmare. There was a PA there. He was making a ton of excuses. His wife got on the Twitter, said that these guys criticizing at Robbie Amell are ruining my bleeping date night. He's outside pumping a football right as we speak. I'm definitely going to be asked to film him throwing. I hope whichever grown man started watching this enjoyed his teenage rom-com. And surely enough, there's a video of this guy throwing the football. Does the guy look a lot worse for making his pregnant wife make his wife film him throwing a football because of Twitter?
Yeah, it's date night. What are you doing, man? First rule of date night is get off the Twitter. You know, the Twitter machine is not going to do anything. No one has ever, like, gotten lucky on date night because they were sitting at the dinner table reading tweets to their date. Or if it has happened, then that's a relationship I don't want any part of. So, no. So, one, I can't believe you got your pregnant wife filming Uncle Rico footage of you in the parking lot. And number two, you should have never gotten there in the first place. It's freaking date night, man. You think Erica McGee is going to sit there and let me read, like, tweets to her? After, hey, baby, I just wrote a story about, Joe Burrow at LSU. Let me read to you all the tweets I've received today. What are you talking about? That's not going to get me where I want to go on date night.
It's so true. You're not ending up anywhere good by pulling up your Twitter account. It just isn't going to...
What are you doing?
But,
listen, I'm as bad about looking at Twitter. Hey, so you talked to Marty yesterday. I'm sorry he wasn't on there today because his wife, Lainey, who's one of the heroes of all time, and he writes about her extensively in the book, as he should. But Lainey, finally, a couple Christmases ago, Marty just quit Twitter. Marty would sit there, and Marty has like 200 and something thousand followers, and Marty would just sit there and scroll through everything and read every comment, and his face would turn all red. He'd get that look like he has on the cover of the book, like he's going to punch you in the face. And finally, his wife just took his phone away, and like she fixed it so that he doesn't get any of that. Like, he only sees the mentions of, like, people he follows or, like, verified users or whatever, because, you know, some ding-dong with two followers in Mebane would get Marty all jerked, you know, jacked up about something that he'd said on TV, and it was like, you know, what are you doing? And I guarantee you, Lainey was like, we're not ruining any more date nights with your Twitter feed.
Shout out to the folks in Mebane. You know who you are. Best, it had us thinking, best movie or TV quarterbacks of all time. My list, I put it out there, my list, 5 through 1, number 5, you got to start with John Moxon from Varsity Blues, the Mox. I got Paul Cruz 4, I got Ronnie Bass 3, I got Willie Beeman 2, and Shane Falco 1. What do you think's at the very top?
Well, let's keep in mind now, Flash Gordon saved the Earth. So, that's got to be worth something. I know Flash Gordon was on the cover of, like, Sports Illustrated in time. He was the quarterback of the New York Jets. But he did save planet Earth. Let's keep that in mind. I'm not sure if that factors into how good of a quarterback you are. But
was he
clutch,
though? Did he have the clutch gene?
There's a scene in the movie where he threw something like a football and, like, knocked a bad guy out. So that's gotta help your QBR.
So Flash Gordon's the vote for Ryan McGee.
Yeah, and I love Shane Falco. Joe Kane, I think Joe Kane won Heisman, and Sunshine. I love Sunshine. Ronnie Bass, actually, I used to work with the actual real Ronnie Bass. He worked for. He worked at local TV in South Carolina, but he did not save planet Earth.
Before we let you go, Dez, do you have the clip of Mike Leach when he was asked? I mean, you don't know what's going to come. Is there anybody there's less certainty of what's about to follow than we've got a clip of Mike Leach?
Yeah.
In this case, Mike Leach was asked if he wears cargo shorts, and the response was great.
Yeah, so for the pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always have pockets. I don't understand those nylon shorts. You know, you jog around and your stuff flaps all over the place. I've never liked those.
How many pairs of cargo shorts do you have?
Difficult to say, because now it's gotten to where they'll give them to me. Or Nike will say, here, check these ones out type of thing.
Is Ryan McGee a cargo shorts guy?
I have one pair of cargo shorts, and I wear them at the beach. Because, number one, I got to put my stuff somewhere. And, number two, no one at the beach cares what you wear. So that's what I do there. By the way, Leach, Google me and Mike Leach. I went out there a couple of years ago, and I was supposed to have 20 minutes with him, and I stayed 3 days. And the guy whose voice you hear asking the question, that's Theo Lawson. Theo is like the only beat writer for Washington State football. And one day Theo is going to write a book. And because there's a lot of things that Theo would like to write now, but again, I think he's going to have to wait until he outlives Mike Leach.
All right, we'll do a little bit of homework on that and see what Ryan McGee dug up on Mike Leach. It's good to have you on the show and to hear your voice. College football season's going to be here very soon, Ryan. Thanks for doing it.
Hey, Flash Gordon. Save their butts.
As a reminder, thank you so much. That's Ryan McGee on Twitter at ESPN McGee. How did I forget Flash Gordon? Flash Gordon was a quarterback. New York Jets. Flash Gordon saved the earth.
I don't know why I forgot about Flash Gordon.
When his cell line was good, he brought it.
Yeah.
He does. He asked us to Google his name and Mike Leach. I don't know what we're going to find. Let's use that as a tease. That's what we call as a tease in the business. Up next, what comes up when you Google Mike Leach and Ryan McGee? Also, why Vince Carter is the quintessential Dean Smith Tar Heel. This is The Drive.
One, two, three, here we go. Ow!
This is The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
We're getting some submissions for the greatest movie and television quarterback of all time. I believe it to be Shane Falco from The Replacement. Some scab quarterbacks coming in. He's followed by Willie Beeman, but I'm regretfully putting Willie Beeman number two because I believe Ronnie Bass actually, in fact, deserves that. Number four, Paul Crewe from The Longest Yard, the old Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds, and then John Moxon from Varsity Blues rounds out the top five. On Twitter, getting Jimmy Dixon from The Last Boy Scout, also Paul Blake from Necessary Roughness. You remember that movie from the 80s?
Oh yeah.
Paul Blake's out on a farm, it seems like, throwing balls at just standing targets. Good high school quarterback. Bobby, don't come at me with Bobby Boucher. He never played quarterback.
No.
So Bobby Boucher doesn't belong on this list whatsoever.
How many times is Adam Sandler going to sneak around this list somewhere, in and out? He never made it, though, either time.
He's no.
Like, not him, no.
Sandler did not make it on this list. Neither did Matt Saracen from Friday Night Lights.
That's cold.
The real question is, would you go Matt Saracen or Vince Howard? Vince Howard was, in the latter seasons, it was Michael B. Jordan playing the quarterback at the end. It was the first time MBJ appeared on my screen whatsoever, appeared on my radar.
Man, it's been so long since I've seen the movie with Billy Bob Thornton.
I probably Wrong
should
movie.
Actually go Friday Night Lights, right?
I'm talking about the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Friday Night Lights.
No, I was. What? The show. Are you just now learning that Friday Night Lights was also a TV show?
Oh, that's okay, good. That's what I'm talking about. It's been so long since I've seen the movie, as what I was talking about.
But it's
Friday
not
Night
a movie.
Lights.
There's a Friday Night Lights movie, which has Tim McGraw and Billy Bob Thornton, and then there's a Friday Night Lights, which has nothing to do with that movie whatsoever, and it's a TV show that's been out for 5 or 6 years.
I've never... Well, no, I think I watched the pilot of that when it first came out and then just abandoned it.
So you're completely... I think Dez just learned about this.
I knew
it existed.
Is this
news to you?
No, I knew it existed. I just didn't care.
Julian writes in Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes! That's it.
Here's the only issue with Uncle Rico. We don't know if what he's saying is, in fact, BS. Right? He says he could throw a football quarter mile. If what he says is true, I'd put him over Shane Falco. But we have no footage to back it up other than the fact he's outside his trailer. It's a clean three-step drop.
Yeah.
Very clean drop and a nice release. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to look like when there's pressure? What are you going to look like calling plays?
Plus, I don't think...
We don't know that from Uncle Rico. We just see the three-step drop and what he says he could do, which is throw the mountain over them damn mountains.
But, yeah, and when we've seen that scene, you don't even see where the ball goes. It's focused on him throwing it. We don't know if he's hitting targets or
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just throwing it off the camera. So
throwing it to Uncle Kip, that's not going to do anything.
Maybe he's throwing it to Tina.
Come get some ham.
Tina, come eat this ham.
David Glenn going to join us in 10 minutes. So we'll continue to take submissions. 336-777-1600 at Sports Hub Triad on Twitter because August. Matthew says Icebox from Little Giants. Wait, did Icebox play quarterback for the Giants? Little Giants, did Icebox play quarterback? She was the best player on the team, but the most memorable play was not passing. It was the annexation of Puerto Rico with the laterals up the field. I think John Madden gave him the play. It was the only time Ask Madden ever worked. The annexation of Puerto Rico. So, we'll revisit this in a second. Here's how you know it's August. You look at some headlines, such as this one here in the NFL. ESPN, why the Jets and 49ers are safe bets to improve. They were the second and third picks in the NFL draft. I think it's a safe bet to say that they might be better than second and third worst in the NFL. With a second-year quarterback and the quarterback you paid a ton returning from injury. I think it's a safe bet to say the Jets and the 49ers are going to be improved over last year. So that's a headline I find funny. The reason we're talking about movie and television quarterbacks, it isn't us just doing the random sports radio thing where if you have nothing to talk about, you bring up movies. It actually comes from a quarterback in a teenage rom-com 4 years ago going viral yesterday. It's a clip of this guy on a football field, high school quarterback in the movie, throwing some balls, and the throwing motion is just terrible. It's brutal. And media picked it up. The question was asked, why do actors struggle to throw a football like a regular human being? And Robbie Amell, who was the actor, responded with, "This is my actual nightmare. There is a PA standing 2 feet from me who has to catch these balls so I don't hit thousands of dollars of camera equipment and lighting setup. I've been dreading these tweets since the first time I saw the movie." Then Buddy's wife, this guy's wife, tweets out, "These guys on Twitter are ruining my bleeping date night. At Robbie Amell is outside pumping up a football that I'm definitely going to be asked to film him throwing. I hope whichever grown man started this really enjoyed watching his teenage rom-com." Can't be pulling out the cell phone on date night. You just can't. And surely enough, there is a video that this guy published of him throwing a football and having decent throwing motion. He said in the tweet, "Apologies to my very pregnant wife for having to video this, but she's in no condition to catch. It's not perfect, but at least it's better than the movie. Off to salvage date night." How big of a fight do you think this was?
Oh my gosh. Well, depends on
why do you care what they say? Do you want to reenact this fight? See how it went?
Who do you want to be? You want to be him or you want to
be her?
I'll
be the wife.
Okay.
Okay.
I almost want to use my Eli Manning voice for this, but I don't know how he sounds. Hi,
Don't use your
ego. I'm automatically going into it. Okay.
Do not do Eli Manning and Daniel Jones. Is that how you do a white person's voice?
Of course not. Of course not. Here, I've got a bunch more in my repertoire here. Okay. Hold on. All right. Hey, babe. Will you do me a favor before we go out?
Why is it Southern?
He's in the South, isn't he?
I don't know.
Just go with it.
It's on Twitter.
We're in the South.
You're sounding a lot like Eli Manning again.
I keep slipping into
it. Can you please do someone who's completely different than one of your other characters?
Hey, babe. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah, what's that?
I've got this thing I need to do. People keep saying I can't throw a football, and I really need to show them I can do this. Can you, I don't know, can you take this phone and walk over there and just watch me throw this football a couple times?
Babe, why do you care about what they're saying on Twitter? Like, it's just Twitter. Like, what do you care that they think you can throw a football or not? Why do you care?
Because I'm a man. I'm a man.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm not 40, but I'm a man. And I want them to think I can throw a football really good.
It is date night. It is date night. Why are you on your phone when we're supposed to be going out? We never go out anymore. It's once a week. We go out. It's date night. And you're pulling out your phone. And now I'm carrying your child. And you're wanting me to do what?
I don't think that the fajitas at Chili's are going to get any colder if you just take a couple of pictures of me throwing a football. Just do it for the Twitter. Just do it for the Twitter. Do it for LeBron.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. End scene.
I got to get some more voices.
David Glenn going to join us in 5 minutes. Looking at some of these other nominees that we're getting. Let's actually go to the phones. Patrick in Winston-Salem is on the Sports Hub. Patrick, give me the quarterback from a movie or TV show you think's the best.
Well, I got an old one for you. How about Kurt Russell playing Reno Hightower in a movie called Best of Time?
Absolutely.
Also with Robin Williams, the great, the late great Robin Williams.
Was that mid-80s? Was that mid-80s, Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell playing Reno Hightower in a movie called Best of Time.
All right. He's listening on his radio.
Yeah, turn your radio off, buddy.
Yeah. Radio 101.
What was the name of that movie again?
The Best of Times. Kurt Russell, I want to say 84, if I've got that correct.
1986.
Ah!
You're close. You're pretty close. The DVD didn't come out until 99.
Looking at some of these other ones. Some I can't read on the radio. Huh.
Wait a minute. The Best of Times has like a 1.5-star rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not a good movie.
Okay.
He was a good quarterback.
Oh, okay.
That's the argument here. Do you consider Napoleon Dynamite to be a great movie?
I do, actually. Napoleon Dynamite is a classic. I love it.
Here's another reason I know it's the summer. Speaking of the New York Jets, this is something that's being talked about today. What Quinnen Williams meant when he was talking about his Madden rating being an 80.
My rating, I got an 80 on Ultimate Team, so I'm going to go play with myself today. So see how I feel. That came out weird. I'm mad.
Yeah, the best part of that is that he said afterwards, just to see how I'm going to feel.
I'm going to go play with myself today, so see how I feel.
All right. I have a feeling I know how you're going to feel, man.
I didn't catch that the first time.
I've got a feeling I know how you're going to feel there. Then you got Mike Leach, who was asked about cargo shorts for some reason. It's Mike Leach. It's August. And specifically, I think he was wearing cargo shorts, so someone just asked him about why he's wearing them.
Yeah, so for the pockets.
Yeah,
you always have pockets. I don't understand those nylon shorts. You know, you jog around and your stuff flaps all over the place. I've never liked those.
How many pairs of cargo shorts do you have?
Difficult to say, because now it's gotten to where they'll give them to me. Or Nike will say, here, check these ones out type of thing.
So here's where we're at. I don't wear cargo shorts. I haven't been wearing cargo shorts for the last 15 years. I phased them out.
15 years?
I don't like them. I think they look ugly.
Why do you what is up with this war on cargo shorts? I don't understand it.
I just don't think it's a great look. There's a line from Superbad I want to quote, but I Google. Nick doesn't wear cargo shorts. He says he never has. Adam Amin said it wasn't his style. Ryan McGee says he only has one pair and he wears it on the beach because, and I quote, nobody cares what you're wearing on the beach. Implying that he would not wear cargo shorts anywhere that people care what you're wearing. Desmond. Desmond wears cargo shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't care what you think.
Nope.
But maybe David Glenn. David Glenn strikes me as somebody who might actually wear cargo shorts.
They're like all over the place. It's not like they're like, it's not like you just see them randomly in the wild. They're everywhere.
Let's put it out on a poll on Twitter @SportsUpTriad. Do you wear cargo shorts? Yes or no?